Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Thursday, the 5th of September. Coming up today, we'll hear from a conservationist who says dog walkers and jet skiers could be putting animals on the Kent coast at risk. We'll also hear from a Canterbury man who says he could be forced to move because of fly-tipped rubbish on his estate. But first, taking a look at our top story, a petition has been launched calling for Herne Bay High School to remove a gate which stops students from using toilets during lesson time. One critic has dubbed it a human rights violation, while others say it makes students feel like they're in prison. Brad Harper has been following this story for the Kent Online podcast. I asked him about the reaction from parents and what were some of their concerns.
Well, we understand the reaction from parents has been mixed. The school says three parents contacted it directly, and the overwhelming feedback from them online has been supportive. But other parents have branded it a human rights violation and compared Herne Bay High to a prison and say their children should be able to feel comfortable in school.
Now, Brad, it sounds like parents, they're really unhappy with this. What's been the school's response?
While the school refused to directly respond to the petition and comparisons of it to a prison, Principal John Boyes says only three parents have contacted the school about the gate being installed. He says pupils can use the toilets during lessons at a new pastoral centre. And the installation of the gate is part of an expansion of wellbeing and safeguarding teams to ensure it gives the very best care for pupils and families.
And what can you tell me about the petition?
It was launched on the first day of term on Tuesday and calls for the new gate to be removed. It says, and I quote, "It is making pupils feel like they are more in a prison rather than a school." This week, almost 150 people have signed the petition. It also claims the new gate has affected many pupils and parents.
Thanks, Brad.
Kent Online News.
A man's been arrested by police investigating a serious sex attack in Maidstone. A woman's thought to have been assaulted by a stranger near the Lockmeadow Leisure Complex on Monday evening. Detectives are questioning a 37-year-old who was detained last night. Two teenagers charged with immigration offences after crossing the Channel have had the charges dropped. The boys from South Sudan were listed as being 16 and 17 years old. They were accused of attempting to enter the UK illegally in April. Five people drowned during their crossing after the dinghy carrying more than 100 people got into difficulty. A teenager has pleaded guilty to causing death by dangerous driving following a collision between two motorbikes in Chatham. Scott Chapman from Phoenix Road in the town was just 16 when the crash happened in Lordswood in October 2021. Now 19, he's also pleaded guilty to driving while unlicensed and uninsured. He's been released on bail and will be sentenced in November. One person has been arrested and weapons seized during a crackdown on crime in West Kent. Patrols spotted the man acting suspiciously on CCTV in Eden Bridge. He was detained on drug supply charges and for driving under the influence. Officers later found a baseball bat and an imitation firearm. The man in his 20s has been released on bail. CCTV images have been released of a man police are looking for after an assault in Rochester. The victim was on the high street on Saturday when he was attacked and left with a fractured jaw. The suspect also used derogatory and homophobic language. You can see the picture at Kent Online. Two teenagers have been arrested after beach huts were broken into on Romney Marsh. Officers were called to Grand Parade in Littlestone just before 10 on Tuesday night. The 15-year-old girl and a boy who's 16 were arrested nearby. Investigations are ongoing. Police want to speak to any witnesses.
Kent Online News.
There's a warning to businesses in Thanet following reports of counterfeit cash. Several shops were approached by customers who tried to pay with fake £20 notes last Tuesday. Police are urging anyone with information to come forward. Neighbours have described being woken up by loud bangs following a car fire in Snodland. Police were called to reports of a disturbance at the Clock Tower Mews in the early hours of yesterday. Two nearby properties suffered heat damage, but there were no reported injuries. The blaze is being treated as suspicious. Some pupils at a school in Tunbridge have gone hungry on the first day back at school after a nationwide outage hit a food payment system. Year 7 students at Lee Academy couldn't buy lunch or break time snacks yesterday. The school says all students who came forward for help were given access to meals and the problem has now been resolved. There are calls for restrictions to be introduced on a stretch of road between Whitstable and Herne Bay to reduce the number of accidents. Four people were taken to hospital last month after a multi-vehicle crash on an area known as the Bends on Whitstable Road. Residents fear it's only a matter of time before there's a fatality. Councils say they're investigating possible solutions. There's a warning: dog walkers, jet skiers and kayakers could be putting wildlife on the Kent coast at risk. It's as five of Britain's seabirds have been added to a so-called red list, which details species at real threat. Two of them use the mudflats and salt marsh at Sandwich and Pegwell Bay. Nina Jones from the Kent Wildlife Trust has been speaking to Kristen Hawthorne from our colleagues at KMTV.
We need to have places like this protected area at Pegwell Bay, which is Kent's largest protected area. We need to have them safe for wildlife. They need to remain a wildlife haven. So it's wonderful for people to come and enjoy like a beautiful, peaceful part of the coastline that's undeveloped, such as Sandwich and Pegwell National Nature Reserve. But we need to know that there's certain ways that we can behave, there's restrictions that we need to follow on activities and access while we're here, so that this remains a place for wildlife to enjoy and therefore for people to enjoy too. And the rules are quite simple about where people can go with dogs. It's things like sticking to the paths, and there is signage around to let the public know where you can and can't have dogs. Obviously lots of people have been coming down here for years and enjoying the bay in the way they want to. So it's all about educating the public to understand, you know, why this is such an important place for wildlife.
Do you think that beachgoers are aware that they're causing problems?
I do think that there is a lack of awareness about the vulnerability of a lot of the wildlife here, particularly the migratory birds, which is the part of the reason why Pegwell and Sandwich Bay is protected in the way that it is. The birds rely on this site. There's these wonderful nutrient-rich mudflats behind me, the salt marsh to roost in. They need this area to rest while they're on the migratory route between their breeding grounds and their overwintering grounds. And people aren't always aware that when they scare a bird, or that maybe their dog scares a bird, or whatever recreational activity they might be doing causes a bird to fly off, that can have a long-term impact on it. So if birds continuously are disturbed, they lose energy, they aren't able to feed, they only have a short period to feed here anyway when the mudflats are exposed and the tide's out, and that can have a long-term impact on their survival. It can even mean that they won't survive over winter in the cooler conditions, or they won't make their migratory journey. Helping people to understand that then lets people appreciate the impact that they can have on the birds and how wonderful it is to see them feeding, roosting, undisturbed.
Kent Online News.
People living in part of Canterbury say they're fed up with fly tippers turning their neighbourhood into a junkyard. Dirty mattresses and broken cinema seats are among the litter that's been dumped along a row of garages in Kemsing Gardens. Paul Barbara has lived on the estate for 30 years and says the area is going downhill. He's told Gabriel Morris from our colleagues at KMTV that he's thinking of moving out of the area.
It's been going on for many, many years now. The rubbish is just becoming so very open space, inviting people. Kemsing Garden has just become like a dump yard for the people to come and dump their rubbish and just disappear. Who's going to take the responsibility to clear that? This is becoming a health and safety issue, an environmental issue. We see the rats running around, and the whole area has become so messy. The Kemsing Garden state is now become known to many people. They don't want to come here. We've been living here and we have seen the state of this neighborhood is getting worse rather than just coming and doing something. So the overall neighborhood is just become like a dump yard, or the place where the students, they come and have the parties and get together and so on. This is not neighborhood, and someone has to be responsible for that, to clear and sorting out so that the neighborhoods sit and relax in peace.
How do you feel living here?
Very, very disappointed now. We have done fair amount of investment of our own property to live nicely, but we are now so fed up that we want to get out from this neighborhood. I'm sorry to say that again, but Kemsing Garden is not for us.
So this fly tipping, I mean, I was here a month ago, it has increased. What is the issue? Why is fly tipping just not being cleared away from here?
Well, it simply goes to be overlooked by the local authorities, whether it's Kent County Council or local Canterbury City Council. They come and take the photos and evidence and remove some of the bins or the rubbish which has been left around. But what are they finding? Even if they're finding, what are they doing about it? So we have no clue. And the state of these things is really, really not getting better.
What have you been trying to do to try and fight this, to try and get this cleaned up?
I don't know. This is not... I wish I can go and bring my own broom and brush and try and clear this much. But that is... we as a local residents can do. We have done it in the past, believe me, not what I'm saying. I have cleaned this rubbish from here in many a times. When there are glass debris and bottles and canisters and they've just been thrown on the roadside after the heavy night of the party by the young students, those who are let out by the University of Kent or the Christchurch College here in Canterbury, who comes to take the responsibility? Students, they come, pay the rent to the local estate agents or the letting agencies. They have a good time. Parties one after another. Thank you. Goodbye.
A spokesperson for Canterbury City Council says preparations are underway to have the land cleared. They're aware the fly tippers could simply return and fill the site up again, but they're working to track down those responsible and hold them accountable. A decision on whether or not to revoke the licence of a Chinese restaurant in Chatham accused of employing illegal workers has been delayed. The Home Office requested the action against Jade Garden in the High Street after a visit from inspectors. Five people were arrested on suspicion of working in the UK illegally. A hearing on Tuesday night was adjourned and a final decision will be made on October 1st. People living in a block of flats in Maidstone say bins are going uncollected because of mavericks who don't recycle properly. Refuse workers have been leaving bins that contain black sacks or other non-recyclable materials outside the flats on Knight Rider Street due to the risk of contamination. Last week, all of them were rejected and are now overflowing. Residents have written to council for advice. Bosses in Canterbury are running out of time to spend money from the government's Levelling Up Fund, with work on a public square near Westgate Gardens delayed. Council was awarded nearly £20 million in funding last year with the understanding that it would all be spent by October 2025. But there have been snags in acquiring permission for the development in the city centre, and there's no update on when it's expected to be complete.
Kent Online News.
As we mark Blood Cancer Awareness Month, Kent Online has been hearing from a Canterbury man as part of the Let's Talk Lymphoma campaign. Adam Fasoli was diagnosed with Hodgkin lymphoma in 2018, and after 4 years of being in remission, it's now returned. He says his aim is to make people more aware of the condition.
With my diagnosis, it's kind of a rare kind of Hodgkin's lymphoma. It's a bit complicated when people aren't diagnosed with it, kind of the types, etc., but it's a rare type of Hodgkin's that's currently in my neck, armpits and chest. I had treatment of chemotherapy before, but at the moment there is, with active monitoring, there is actually no treatment. It's just kind of just keep an eye on it to see where it's going to go.
Before you were diagnosed with a condition, were you aware of it? Had you heard of it before?
Never heard of it. No, never heard of lymphoma before. No.
And is that part of the reason why, I suppose, you're involved in the campaign now, to get more people talking, to raise awareness?
Yeah, but I never heard of it before my diagnosis. I've heard of quite a lot. I've heard of leukemia, which is kind of on the same path because it's blood related, but I'd never heard of lymphoma before. And that's my goal, is to kind of spread awareness and kind of make people know about this cancer. And just basically, as you said, it's the fifth most common one. So, yeah.
What sort of symptoms put you to a doctor in the first place? What sort of things should people be aware of?
So my symptoms in general was just lumps. So lumps under the armpit, chest, neck, etc., which is probably the most common symptom, but there's quite a few. So you have drenching night sweats, weight loss. Some people get itching. There's also, I've heard quite a lot of people who drink alcohol seem to get a bit of pain. I don't drink myself, so I've never had that problem. But they are the most common symptoms of lymphoma.
And what sort of support do Lymphoma Action offer now? I can see you're obviously working with them at the moment. What sort of services are available for other people that have been diagnosed?
Yeah, so you've got helplines, you've got buddy services, There's basically with the buddy services, I am a volunteer for them as well, which I would 100% recommend if you've been diagnosed with lymphoma. And there's lots of support groups on social media as well. So, yeah, there's quite a lot of choice to choose from.
A family-run Kent pub will reopen again this month after closing suddenly last year. The Ship Inn at Conyer Creek on the Saxon Shore Way between Sittingbourne and Faversham has been taken on by a first-time landlord. The 18th-century freehouse has undergone a cellar refit, and the new owners want to bring in chefs with Michelin-star experience and focus on locally sourced food. It's a pub with a long and checkered history. It was originally a bakery and blacksmith's before it became an alehouse in 1802. It was once also a landing post for smugglers, as its remote location made it the perfect spot to drop off contraband. A 140-year-old town centre social club in Dartford has gone up for sale. The Conservative Club in Spittle Street closed suddenly earlier this year due to internal issues that were said to be confidential. It's now on the market for £1 million. And Canterbury's Great Stour Riverfest is set to return for 2024. Stalls and activities will be set up in Westgate Gardens. The six-day celebration will kick off on September 14th.
Kent Online Sports.
Taking a look at the news from the Paralympics, Ashford swimmer Kellyanne Warrington is celebrating a silver in the S10 100 metres butterfly event. The 24-year-old was determined to crack the podium after a near miss in the freestyle final 48 hours earlier. 13-year-old Tunbridge swimmer Iona Winifreth also made it through to the final of her 100 metre breaststroke event. Staying with the games, and a Kent wheelchair race is backing Paralympics GB to claim medals in the marathon event. John Boy Smith from Gravesend finished 10th in Tokyo after winning silver at the Commonwealth Games 2 years earlier. He told the podcast Eden Rainbow Cooper should do well in the women's event.
I was hoping to compete and I was on what they call the long list. Like everyone basically gets put on a long list. There's no guarantee to that you're going to be selected. I was the most active athlete this year, I believe. I did some track racing over in Dubai in January. I did the Tokyo Marathon in February, the Boston Marathon in April, the London Marathon in April, the Manchester 10K in May. So I was the most active British athlete, like male athlete. It just didn't come through. So I got the phone call to say I didn't get selected. I was told there was one or two people in front of me on the qualification standard. And yeah, at the end of the day, and for some reason or another, I don't know if it was financial issues or political issues, but they were only sending one male and one female athlete for the marathon. And I wasn't that one person at the end of the day. If they were taking two, maybe I would have been there.
How frustrating is that for you? It must be just knowing you've got it in you to perform well. That must be so frustrating.
I'll tell you what it is, Nicola, like how I've said it to people, because I've been speaking to people about this nearly every day. If I wasn't good enough, or if I didn't cut it, if I didn't get the qualification standard, or if I was inactive, whichever, then I could say, well, I'm not in the world rankings. I haven't qualified. I haven't done anything. I would have expected it. But even my bosses at British Athletics were saying, no, you're on the long list. Just see what happens. Just keep doing what you're doing. But ultimately, it comes down to a panel of people selecting who's who and who's going where.
But you're sat there wearing your GB T-shirt, so you're definitely cheering on the rest of the team from home. What do you think the chances are in the marathon then for Paralympics GB?
First of all, we have Eden Rainbow Cooper. She's a great, great friend of mine, a very close family friend. She's coming on so strong. She's new, but in hindsight, she won the Boston Marathon back in April, the youngest female athlete to ever win it, and she won it by quite literally a country mile. We've got David Weir as well. Anybody who follows Paralympic sport knows who David Weir is. 6 gold medals. We'll remember 2012. So if, in my opinion, we have the strongest British team, two-person team going into the Paralympic marathon.
And what are your plans? Are you wanting to be in LA? It's only in 4 years' time. I mean, what do you want to do?
LA is now my main goal, my main focus. Everything between now and then is obviously is training, is qualification standards, it's competition, everything like that. And bear in mind, I am 35 in November, so I'll be going into nearly 40 years old when it comes to LA. So who knows what's going to happen? If I keep myself strong and healthy and keep doing what I'm doing, in my opinion, there is no doubt that I will be a competitor at the LA 2028 Paralympic Games.
David Weir is due to compete in the men's event. They both take place on Sunday. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.